Good morning. I love it.
So I want to start this morning with a quick story. Probably 35, 36 years ago, I was in college. Pretty much everyone knows my story with Linda and her story with me. I didn't know the Lord, and she witnessed to me. But my first verse that was ever given to me was, "Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." And I got that verse from my now wife in a card. She gave it to me, and I opened it up, and I didn't really understand it. But what was happening at the time was I was going to Stony Brook University. I was taking 19 credits, and I took Russian. I took Russian because I needed a language. But I took Russian because I didn't have any money. And my brother took it before me, and he had the book. So I said, "Oh, that's a smart thing. I'll just use your book, and I'll take Russian." The thing I didn't understand was that you need a C. You need a C to pass. I got a C minus. I think I took it twice. Anyway, the day of my graduation, my dad is there, my mom is there, my wife is there, we're all there, and I am in my gown and I'm searching for my professor to beg and plead for a C. Why do I tell you that? Why do I say I'm begging and pleading? But then I realized that verse, "Cast your cares," is probably one of the first times I was crying out to the Lord. "Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know. I'm going to be getting married, and I've already said I'm going to graduate from college, and I'm going to get a job. Everything would just be blown up. Would it be okay?" Yeah, it would have been okay. But for me, it may not seem too overwhelming to you, but trust me, I was super overwhelmed. But I remember that verse, "Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." That has been my verse all the way through my life since Linda witnessed to me and I came to know the Lord here in this church. I don't know about you, but I'm guessing you may have some anxieties. I'm guessing you may be nervous sometimes. I'm guessing life weighs you down sometimes, if not like me, every single day. Listen to Psalm 55:22. David says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you." Listen to that. Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Even though sometimes I certainly feel like I'm being moved by the waves of the world and what's happening around me. I don't know if you feel that way as well. Follow along with me. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter 5. That's where that verse comes from, 1 Peter 5:7. But let's just look at the verses. Follow along with me. It's in your Bible. It's in the Pew Bible. 1 Peter 5, and we'll just start with verse 1. "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading glory, crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil," listen, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, we pray, I beg you this morning that you would humble us in Christ, that you would help us to cast our cares upon you, Lord Jesus, and that you would help us to resist the devil. So just looking at the background of 1 Peter, it was written 30 years after Jesus rose from the grave. And you just think about what Peter, I love studying this, because I really got to understand a little bit about Peter and who he is. Because you always hear he's the first one to raise his hand. He's the first one to do something. He's the first one to say something. But here he is, 30 years after his Savior has risen from the grave, and he is shepherding the flock. He is telling the leaders, he is telling the people in the church how to live their lives in humility. And we will certainly see that. See, we're going to focus on what it means to cast your cares on the Lord. And I'm guessing we've all done that before, but I'm guessing sometimes we don't always do it in the right way. I know I don't always do it in the right way. So I will just tell you this. Probably, I remember exactly when it was. So Emma is 21, and Linda was in labor. She was having contractions, and I was supposed to be rubbing her back. But instead of rubbing her back, I was a lot heavier back then, and I actually hit the ground. I hit the ground, and I couldn't get up. They called an ambulance, thought I was having a stroke. I get to the hospital, and they take a couple of look. They look at me and everything, and then 15 minutes later, I'm outside the hospital with my hair standing up in the air, and they're like, okay, you can go home now. What happened was, and I didn't really know what was happening, was it was a Meniere's attack. I have an inner ear disease, and I don't know if you ever had vertigo before, but this vertigo just knocked me to the ground, and I couldn't get up. And I, grossly as it sounds, I threw up for like 4 hours straight or something like that. And it lasts, I still have it, and it lasts pretty much for 20 years, 25 years, something like that. But what it did to me was I lost the hearing in my ear, or started to lose back then, but have lost it now. And it gave me anxiety. It gave me depression. And I had no idea where this was coming from. But the reason why I tell you that whole long story is I sought counseling, and I went to a Christian counselor. And there was a Christian counselor here, and he gave me a survey. And I had the survey in my hand, and I loved the first couple of questions. What's your name? I got that one. Where do you live? I got that one. And as the survey went down, he started to ask me really pointed questions about my heart, about my relationship with the Lord. I will tell you what I did with the survey. I threw it out the window. I literally threw it out the car window, and I remember I was at work, and I was like, I'm not doing this. I was not humble at all. And there was part of the problem was that I was thinking, I can control my life. I can handle my life. I got this. But if you look at me and you saw me back then, you'd be like, man, you're in trouble. I did not have it. That for me, and it's still to this day, I still have to cry out to the Lord and say, please help me, help me, help me. Clothe yourselves with humility. This was so cool because it's not something you wake up with and you're just like, I'm humble. I'm humble. It's something that the Lord will do in your life. If you've asked him into your heart and you are saved and you are redeemed and the Holy Spirit lives in your life, you will have God working in you to be humble. It says it means clothe yourself, tie on an apron. So a slave would put on an apron. So basically the term means to be wearing an apron of a slave. And what does that exactly mean? It means that you're serving the Lord, you're serving Christ in humility, and you're serving the people around you, which is not always easy to do. I know people have looked at me in over the years, and I've had people, even in this church, say, hey, I don't think you should even be serving. I've had those types of things happen to me, and the Lord has humbled me, and he has made me realize that the strength that I need to be living in every day is him. It's him. 1 Peter 3:8 says this. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. That means all of us have unity of mind, have sympathy, have brotherly love, have a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now, I had a list here, and Barbara Schwamm, you can kill me later. But I have a list here of what it means to be humble. And as the Lord would do, I always say, Lord, please, please help me. Help me, give me what I need that I can give everybody else that you want everyone to know. And I wrote this sermon, and I was so diligent and trying to figure out exactly what to write. And I happened to be at a party the other night with my wife. They were celebrating Barbara Schwamm's retirement. And I'm sorry, Barbara, but this example is the Lord was just like, Mark, you have to use this. So it's speaking about being humble and about being a servant. people came up and spoke about Barbara Schwamm in the way that they said, we know Barbara loves Jesus Christ. We know that she's saved, but it's not what she says. It's how she lives her life. And there was a packed room. This was not a church service. It wasn't a church service. My friend Keith got up and he read scripture and he prayed. I sat there so humble. I was just like, this is one of the most amazing things that I have seen. So that's pretty much what it means. I won't even go through the list now. I'll just leave it at that, is that you live your life. People can see how you're living. They see what you're saying. They see what you're doing. You don't have to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect, but overall, they need to be able to see that you love Jesus Christ and He's your Savior. And if that is true, that means you're going to open the door for somebody. That you're going to be the first one there to say, can I help you? Can I pray for you? Those are the things. You don't have to, it's not money, it's not anything big. It's the simple things in life that we should be doing. This is God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He's quoting here, Proverbs 3:34. Towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. I was so scared when I was going through this. God opposes the proud. I would be frightened. God opposes the proud. It literally means he sets himself against the proud. Another way to say it is God resists the proud. You know what? I had this picture and I read a commentary and it said it's actually like God is in battle gear towards people who are proud. You don't want to fight a war against God. You will not win. I know I haven't won one battle. I haven't won anything except God's grace and mercy. I was just going to say James 4, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Now, I love the life of Peter. And you just think about what Peter went through. But one of the things about being humble is that we have to follow each other. You know, leaders in this church, we can't just be doing things as leaders just to do it as a leader because we just want to tell people what to do. We can't just be like, hey, do this because I'm the leader, because I'm in charge. You need to do what I say. That's not what Jesus is saying, and we know that because Peter was so humbled that Jesus wound up saying, well, they didn't have shoes. They had dirty feet. But if it was today, you'd be, take your shoe off. Take your shoe off, Mark. Take off your stinky sock, and I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter was there when Jesus actually washed all their feet. Their disgusting, gross feet. He took each one of their feet and washed it. And Peter, you know what he said? No. No, no, no. You're not going to wash my feet. That's what Peter said to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, if I do not do this, and it's such a more deeper than just washing feet, if I don't do this, you have nothing to do with me. And Peter understands that I have to have something to do with you. You're my Lord, you're my master. Then Peter says, wash my head, wash my feet, wash my whole body. Wash me whole. Peter was understanding who God was. I would just say, go to Philippians 2 when you have a chance and read about our Savior. Read about how humble he was. And that you can't get away from the fact that at the end, when you breathe your last, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. You can't get away from it. Second point, cast your cares on Jesus. And you can't cast your burdens on him unless you're humbled. Unless you're humbled, you cannot do it. That's why verse 5 is there. I've been my whole life saying, cast my cares upon Jesus because he cares for me. What about verse 5? You have to be humble in order to be able to do that. Humbleness and grace go together. You can't have grace and mercy unless God has humbled you in your heart to say, Lord. And I remember distinctly when it was, I was 7th Cindy Street in Smithtown, second floor, right room on the right, on my knees, crying out, saying, Lord, save me, help me, I need you. I remember exactly when it was. Have you done that? Has God put you, not just, you don't have to be on your knees, you don't have to have your hands in the air, but has God ever talked to you, to your heart, to your soul, to your mind that he created and said, I am yours, I want you, come to me? Have you ever heard that? If you had, go to him. Go to Jesus. Go to him because he wants you to come to him. You know, I think about casting your cares, and unfortunately in my life, I have so many examples. I was like, I don't have a problem pulling out examples of me being an idiot. So one of them is on a plane, and my poor wife, because I only fly in a plane because I feel like I don't want to miss out on life. But other than that, inside, I'm like literally like I don't want to get in the plane. And they always put me next to a door or next to a window. So I'm sitting there next to a window. I think we were going to Texas to see my daughter Trish. And as I'm on the plane, no joke, as much as this, you could all know I'm insane now, because I know this was nothing, but in my head it was something. I'm looking at the window. We're 30,000 feet in the air, 800 miles an hour, and I start to see on the window a little bit of ice. A little bit of ice. And it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. I'm so prideful that I don't say, excuse me, there's ice on the window. Is that okay? I just kind of sit there, and I'm like, this window's going to blow out, and we're all going to die. And I'm just sitting there, and I that's what I do when I get on a plane. It's the worst thing in the world. And I'm sitting there, and Linda, I think she loves to fly, and she usually sits over next to me, and she's fine. Not a care in the world. La, la, la. And I just have my head down saying, Lord Jesus, I need you. That may be silly to you all, but for me, that's how I live my life. Lord Jesus, I need you. Even though the window is not going to blow out, ice is probably normal. Any pilots in here, tell me later if that's normal. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it may be silly, but for me, I have to live my life that way. I have to cast my cares upon the Lord. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Simple hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, Jesus is your friend. He's your Savior. He's your Master. All our sins and grief to bear. He's taken all your sins. What a privilege. Listen, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Do you do that? Do you carry everything to God in prayer? I know I don't, but I'm working on it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Peter's quoting, as I said before, David. He's not quoting David. He is quoting David. But it's a Psalm 55:22. Cast your burdens, anxieties on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be removed. Isaiah 26:3. So the ladies in this church are amazing. I know my mother-in-law was having a rough time, and they sent her this mug. And on this coffee mug, it said this, and I look at it almost every day. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. I'm only pausing because it's God's word that's most important, not this babbling person up here. It's God's word. You keep him. God will keep us. God, you keep him in perfect peace. Do you want perfect peace? You can only get it from the Lord. You can only get perfect peace from the Lord if your mind is stayed on you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you know what anxiety is? It's a divided mind. My mind is divided when I'm anxious. It's not solid and strong on the Lord. It's, oh my gosh! You pick it. Finances, work, relationships, anything. And I'm not casting upon God saying, Lord, I can't handle this. You take it. I will tell you how not to cast first and then how to cast. My poor wife, and I say that sincerely, for a while, not a long time, but for a while, every day, I would wake up and my wife would wake up and I would unload my burdens on my wife. How are we going to pay the mortgage? How are we going to send them all to college? What are we going to do when they grow up? What am I going to do? My boss is mad at me. My poor wife didn't even have a chance to comb her hair. And I would do this day after day after day. And finally the Lord said, Mark, what are you doing? Not only are you killing her, but at the same time, you're not casting your burdens on me. He didn't make Linda to take all my burdens. He didn't. He made me to honor him and to glorify him. And one of the things he wants me to do is to be humbled and to be able to give him everything that I'm concerned about. Now, one of the ways to cast upon God, it really means to hurl. It means to throw. It means, Mark, you need to take all your burdens and you need to give them to me. You need to do it every day. It's sort of like this, and I don't know if somebody moved this stuff, but it's sort of like if you see the garbage men in the morning in front of your house, and you see these guys come out, and they throw the garbage. Well, we should be doing this, casting the care upon Jesus every single day. I'm learning that. Trust me, when I was studying this week, I'm learning to cast my cares upon the Lord. God is so good. He is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. Don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly that God cares for you and he loves you and he cares for you and he loves you. I'm just going to keep repeating it. He cares for you and he loves you. Think of Peter. Probably all know the story. They're in the boat, and here's Peter. And the disciples see Jesus walking on the water, and they think he's a ghost. But here's Peter. I kind of wish I was like Peter, and then I don't. Because I think I would have been very safe in that boat. But Peter realizes it's Jesus, and what does he do? Lord, can I come to you? No way I'm asking, can I come to you? I'm just going to sit there and watch what happens. Peter gets out of the boat, and you know what happens to Peter? He walks on water. Peter walks on water. And Jesus is there, but what happens? Is what happens to me every day. There's wind. That might as well just be anything. It could be, I don't know, my mind. It could be my anxiety. It could be anything. Then there's a wave. That could be my, like I said, it could be work. He starts to looking at the things around him, and he starts to sink. But I love this point. This is casting your cares upon Jesus. I love it. What does Peter do? Lord, save me. Lord, help me. What does Jesus do? Does he walk the other way and go back to town? Immediately he grabs his hand. If you cry out to Jesus, he will immediately be there for you. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. I love it. I love how Peter is. I'm not like him, but I love it. I love how Peter just jumps right in and does all these things. And he kind of like, he messes a lot of things up. A lot. But the Lord loves him. And if you mess up a lot, the Lord loves you. You know, I always think about this. At the end of my life, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be by myself. Maybe a nurse is around, my family around, but I'm going to be alone with my Savior. When I breathe my last, you will be, nobody else will be able to be there for you. You can't cast your cares on anybody else but Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And I love when Pastor David always says it. I'm going to get it wrong, but it's something like 10 out of 10 people are going to die. And every time he says it, I'm like, he's right. But I never think of that. He's right. We're all going to leave this earth. Where are you going when you leave? What are you doing when you leave? Two places. There is eternal damnation if you don't put your faith in Jesus. I was talking to my friend Robbie this week, and he said, are you going to, I think it was Robbie, or maybe it was somebody else. Sorry, Robbie, if it wasn't you. But somebody said, are you going to be preaching fire and brimstone? I think it was Doreen Davidson. Somebody said that to me. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be banging on the pulpit. But I will say this. It is a true statement. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity without God. And that is hell. And I can't put it any other way. You know, if you are anxious and have depression and you have a hard time living your life, you're in good company. I was looking at this, and look, Charles Spurgeon, depressed, anxious at times in his life. David Brainerd, he was a missionary, depressed and anxious at times in his life. King David, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? It's right there. Open your Bible. It's right in the Psalms. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Elijah, I have had enough, Lord. And I've been right here. I don't share a lot with people because I don't want to burden people, and you don't want to know what's going on in my head. But there's been times in my life I could echo what he's saying. Elijah says, I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm not better than my ancestors. It goes on and on. You're in really good company if you're there. Don't stay alone. Cry out to the Lord, and he will help you. Cry out to your brothers and sisters who love you and want to serve you. I just love songs, and I can't sing. I'm tone deaf. I usually don't open my mouth and sing, but I will hum. And music just grabs my soul. It just, and sometimes you turn around and you'll see me crying. I can't help it. Music is amazing. It's a gift from God. And there's a song out there when I was just going to make you laugh. I was rollerblading out on the road. And as I was listening to the song, Strong. Try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep putting on says I ain't tired. But these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. 'Cause hard. Nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with worn-out heart that's barely beating. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating, but every time I get that feeling, I hit my knees with my hands held high, saying, Dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I've got good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. Songs will just hit your heart like that. The last point I have is be alert and resist the devil. Be sober-minded. Be watchful, it says in 1 Peter 5. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, that's you. Don't miss it. You're in a war. But the battle's already won. Jesus has already won, but you're in a battle. Resist him. You need to resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Peter wrote this to suffering Christians who were being persecuted. And he encourages them to let them know they're not alone. So we'll be self-controlled and alert because our enemy, the devil, the adversary, your enemy is seeking to attack you. So to resist is to withstand. But you can't withstand on your own. You can't do it in your own power. You can't be in control. I've already told you, and you already know, I want to be in control. Mark Harrigan wants to be in control. When I was on that plane, I would have been perfectly fine sitting in the cockpit. Woohoo! I could see where I'm going. I know what's happening. I'm not sitting next to the window. It would have been wonderful. They're not letting me in the cockpit because I don't know how to fly the plane. God knows how to take care of your life. He knows. So you need to go to him. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Only with the Lord can we stand firm in our faith. My daughter Tricia and my son-in-law Mike sent this to me, and Pastor David just preached on this, and it was amazing because that's usually what happens. It's like everything kind of just comes together. So the plaque they sent me is Ephesians 6:10-18, and Pastor David preached so well on this about what we need to be doing and what we need to be putting on. And I'll just read it. Finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God
so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I love that. And you know what? At the end of it, always keep on praying for the Lord's people. We are not to cast our cares upon the Lord and then to go our merry way. I'm good now. Thanks, Lord. No. I need to be taking care of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And do you know that when you do that, all your burdens kind of melt away? You may have the biggest problems in the world, but when you're helping somebody and you're moving them towards the Lord, all your burdens kind of feel like, they're kind of nothing. Thanks, Lord. But unless you step out and do that, unless you step out and really stand firm in your faith and ask the Lord to help you. We're just going to end here with what, you know, I said I love reading about Peter, but it does state in the Bible that God gives permission to the devil to sift Peter. Man, it's just, again, it's things that you don't even think about until you read the Bible and you're just like, oh my gosh. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. What if God said that to you? What would you think? But I have prayed for you. And do you know Jesus prays for you every day? That he is praying for you. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He gave him the answer. You're going to go through a trial you've never gone through in your life, but I have you. When you're done, strengthen your brothers means you're going to be okay. The devil is not going to win. The battle is already won. I have already won. You're okay. You have to go through this trial. You have to go through this valley, but you're going to come out on the other end, and I'm going to be with you. And then you see denial. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Those are Peter's words. I'm going to die for you. And yet, when the rooster crows three times and Peter looks at Jesus and Jesus looks at him, Peter weeps because he denied him three times. We are weak. We don't have power and strength, but God does. God cares for us, and he will always pick you up. He picked up Peter. His restoration. Then when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these do? He replied. Do you love me more than these do? He replied. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus told him, feed my lambs. Jesus said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus told him, shepherd my sheep. Jesus said a third time, Simon said of John, do you love me? Peter now was distressed that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And said, Lord, you know everything. Look at Peter's faith here. He's come to the realization of who Jesus is. Lord, you know everything. And you know I love you. Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Humble yourself before God. Cast your burdens on him. Resist the devil and serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. You will be beyond the most joyful person in the world. And then look at Pentecost. Look at Peter standing there preaching the gospel. He's preaching in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people come to know the Lord. This is not Peter. This is not Peter. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who wants people to come to him and to be redeemed. Peter and John standing there saying to people who are going to beat them and have already beat them and are going to beat them again and beat them again. And Peter and John, and Peter says, go ahead. Go ahead. We can't stop talking about Jesus. This is Peter who denied him three times, who is there bitterly weeping. So if you're in a part of your life right now where you're like, that's it. I'm never, ever going to get out of this. I'm never, ever going to be better. Cast your cares. Humble yourself. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will do amazing and mighty things in your life. It's not just for Peter. Peter was a weak man. He was just like us. God did an amazing thing. Look at what happens at the end of their life. Well, first in John, we're almost done. But in John, it says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter was going to glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. It is registered in the history books that Peter was crucified. But as I read the story and learned more about it, he wasn't just crucified. I don't know if you know this, but he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord, so they crucified him upside down. And I knew that. What I didn't know was that it is said that his wife was crucified before him and he had to watch. And this is what he said to his wife. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. If I don't say anything else this morning, remember the Lord. Humble yourself. And I say this too, and I love it when Pastor David preaches because he says the same thing. We all need this. We all need this. I'm just babbling up here. But trust me, I need this more than probably anybody. Humble yourselves. Cast your cares upon him. So, as the Lord would have it, I don't know if I have it here, but we're done. It's amazing. It is amazing. I can't find my phone because it's pretty much always stuck to my head. All right. I guess I left it back there. So what I was going to say was, yesterday, there was a service here for Millie Schwamm, and there was a hymn that was played, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I was going to read it to you because it just stuck in my head all day. This morning, I just kept playing that over and over and over. And you know what? Just forgive me. I remember. I left it here. I had a song, and you could look it up later, but it's by Shane and Shane. The song is called You've Already Won by Shane and Shane. Look it up. I was going to read it, but I'm not going to read it now. All the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I'll read the last verse. All the way my Savior leads me, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. Don't forget where you're going. Don't forget if you know him, you will be with him in paradise. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me and you would help us to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And you would help us to cast our burdens upon you. And you would help us to resist the devil. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in your strong and mighty name. Amen.